Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com. Calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a great show lined up for everybody today. We have my co-host and friend, Linda Feinholz, calling in from L.A., the founder of Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Hello, Linda.
Hello, good morning, or good everything, whoever's calling in from all around the world, as I know they are.
That is very true. Well, I have been looking forward to our guest today.
I am so excited that we have Chris Gilbertson with us. I met Chris on a webinar that she was doing talking about how each of us builds our relationships through using our voice. And nowadays, that platform is very much about using our voice both live and recorded. And I was so excited. When I was on the webinar, I was sending her messages going, how do I find you? How do I contact you? I want you on the show. I want you for our audience because I know it's so relevant for so many of the people who are listening today.
It really is. So
it
why don't
really
you go
is.
Ahead and do the honors of letting everybody know a little bit more about her?
Well, in fact, I'm going to ask Chris to do that herself because everything we talked about was what she's focusing on now. So I look forward to diving into a bit more of her background and so on. And then what I loved about Chris so much was that she really devoted her time to really teaching. So I know that that's part of what we're going to have for everyone today is really teaching how to think differently about what it is that makes for a compelling and useful and relevant podcast or audio or video that we're using in order to do relationship cultivation with our prospective clients, with our community, and so on. So I'm unable to unmute anybody at the moment, so I'm going to ask you to do that from your end.
I think I got her unmuted. Are you there?
Good morning, Gina, Linda. Can you hear me?
Yay!
I can. Yay, we got you undone.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here in front of your audience and connecting with you fabulous ladies. So I'm so excited to go into all this detail with you guys today.
And Chris, I have to tell you, I had mentioned to you that we promote this show by going out to LinkedIn and Facebook and Google Plus and so on. And within minutes, I had people getting back to me saying, I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there, I'm going to be there, or will there be a recording? So I know that this is so timely.
Absolutely. It's very powerful. So I'll let you lead it off how you want to get started, and I'm excited. I'm excited to share all this with you, everybody.
Well, I know we're going to dive into all the details, so before we do that, I would love to hear some background about how you came to be devoting your time and attention to this aspect of relationship marketing.
Great question. I think every entrepreneur has this similar story at some point in their career of going through many different avenues until they found their true niche. And that's really my background's all over the place. I've worked with Fortune 500 clients, helping them with their vendor evaluation process, helping them find the right vendors for their business models. I've been a career service director, helping people transition later in life into a career they actually love. And then I've been heavily in the real estate market for the past 7 years, selling luxury real estate and doing a few different avenues in the real estate industry, but none of it, I loved what I had done, but it wasn't my true passion. And so when I found out about internet marketing and the so-called expert space 3.5 years ago, I was so intrigued with it that my story, I always thought I had to actually, you know, work for someone else to have the structure, you know, the entity, that, you know, that identity. And when I found out more that my own knowledge could be an information product that I could share with the world and get paid for it, that's when the light bulb went off. And then I started researching all these different strategies. And, of course, you know, as an entrepreneur, you get started, and there's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's LinkedIn. It's just like, oh, my goodness, I don't know where to get started. And I literally fell into iTunes by accident. Literally, it was just, I just happened to be at an event and met someone that was talking about it. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this makes so much sense. I love to talk. Writing is a little bit difficult for me, so I prefer to speak. And I wanted to go global with my message, and it was the way for me to get started quickly and be able to have a global impact fast. So it just made perfect sense. So I just jumped right in, did a ton of research, found out everything about it that I possibly could get my hands on, and then I realized this is powerful for every entrepreneur, and that's why I, you know, took this as owning my space and getting started. So that's kind of the roundabout answer for you.
I love it.
I just love it when you get accidents like that happen to you.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. And the accidents, I believe there's no accidents, even though we may think they are at the time, but it's supposed to happen. So I truly do. Yeah, it's very fun.
And you put your finger on a really ideal issue, because I know from the people who are responding that they were going to be sharing this, you know, program with us today, that we've got attorneys, we've got internet marketers, we've got network marketers I know personally who are all on here. And so I love the fact that you talked about part of it is it's so important for finding our voice and getting global, but also that it's relevant for everyone in every kind of profession and business right now.
It's so true, because, you know, with everything that you guys have been able to do in your businesses, you've built that on relationships, and you two are two of the most incredible women that have been able to do that. And so most entrepreneurs, when they get started, they want to create that connection, but they may not have the background yet and the right skill sets. And the fastest, that's why the power of your voice and having people hear you and be able to connect with you, there's this instant, I like to call it kind of magic, but I call it the fun factor, really, because people get to know who you are, what you're about, and they really get to know you on a different level than any other type of marketing strategy. So, you know, and people only buy from people they like or trust, and in today's marketplace, our marketing world is so loud. There's so much noise. So, you know, people are past just over content, you know, all over the place. They want to connect with people, and that's where I saw this was powerful, where people can use it, you know, as lawyers. It's a great vehicle, my lawyer actually has a podcast. It's an awesome vehicle for them. But for anybody that wants people to get to know who they really are, that's why it's powerful. So, yeah, great point.
You know, one of the questions that I was thinking about in preparing for our conversation today is I started in the internet online world back in 2007, and I know Gina was involved in, you know, more than a decade ago. And, I was thinking about this issue of the demographics for what we're talking about today, which is using our voice online, and because podcasting is both now for audio as well as video, you know, both our voice and our voices. And I'm curious what you're seeing in the demographics that it's a fit for nowadays.
Yeah, oh, great question. When I found out about the demographics about this is what really got me excited too. So these aren't my statistics, actually. This is actually statistics done and researched, heavily documented research by eMarketer and Edison Research. And Tom Edison is a big advocate of podcasts. And so he did a bunch of research, and they literally, quote, they say that they're of the average podcast listener is affluent, highly hard to reach, highly desirable advertising target. And the reason they are is because they don't respond to internet marketing. So they don't respond to other commercials or other advertisements. They are actually looking for key experts to tune into and listen to on a regular basis. So it's the demographic is very exciting. Now, also, what's great about it, too, is it ranges all different age range. So I have corporate executives that listen to my show. I have kids that have listened in on my show. So you have all different age ranges within the iTunes marketplace, because today technology reaches everybody. So So it enables people to be able to really connect with anyone in the iTunes marketplace.
A company by the name of BrightEdge just came out with a big survey a day or two ago. They had gone out and interviewed a number of companies that were really focusing on search engine marketing. And they were asking questions related to what 2013 had in store for these search marketers. And one of the things that they made a point of studying through that survey was exactly what you're talking about right now. Google, Yahoo, Bing, all of the big search engines really understand that every searcher wants a different type of format. Some people like
right.
to read, some people like to listen, some people like to watch. And what was really obvious to me in this study of what you want to do for search engine marketing is exactly what you're talking about. You want to not be just putting out content in one format, but as many formats as you can so that you can reach everybody in the style they want to learn the most. And
exactly.
according to the survey, podcasting is the best way to do that.
Oh, I thank you for sharing that. I'm going to go, right after we get off the call, I'm going to go look into that because that's so true. Because a third of your audience is blind, a third of your audience is deaf. So you want to have different...
Yeah.
Connections for everybody. And, you know, it's funny because when I found out about podcasting, I'm an audio listener. I like to do my work and have something streaming in the background. And I always, you know, I'd always get videos from people and I'm like, I can't watch these until later. And what do? We stockpile all these blog posts or videos and I don't always come back to them. So I'm
right.
missing great information. And so that's what's great is it can stream, you know, for you. But the other thing, Gina, awesome point too, is the search engine. When you're able to partner up with a large 800-pound gorilla like iTunes, you're able to rank on page one of Google for any of your keywords. So that can, you know, pull your websites up the rank as well as having your own show out there where people can connect with you instantaneously. So there's a lot of byproducts and benefits with that, but very powerful to have different modalities and mediums that people can connect with you because we're all different style of learners for sure.
If you want to go look at that survey, you'll find it at askggg.com/search marketing. askggg.com/search marketing. Really great study.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. That's fantastic. Yeah. That I want to see what else they have to talk about there. But, yeah, that really is true. And, you know, the other thing, too, a lot of broadcast media, if you go into iTunes, you'll notice every single major broadcast media production company is in iTunes. We have local stations here in Denver that's all they promote is their podcast. So it's showing you the change in consumer buying behavior and also their habits. Like people want to be, like we had some callers that emailed in these awesome questions, but they couldn't be live because of our busy schedules. So people want content on demand. You know, they're so used to it now with all the different mediums where they can, you know, skip over commercials and watch it later. So that's what enables people to really reach more people when they want and when they're open to hearing your message, which is, I think, the most important part because then they're really tuning in and being able to grasp what you're you know, able to help them with where they actually take it and can implement it or connect with you and follow up. So, yeah, definitely some exciting abilities that we have today now with technology.
Cool. You know, we in the show notes, what we said was that the purpose of the show was to learn how to use the hottest social media strategy for 2013 to generate more traffic, leads, and sales for what we're talking about is any kind of business through using your voice. And you've had clients that you've worked with that have had radical growth in their email opt-in by creating their own show, haven't you?
Yes. It just gives me goosebumps. I have clients that have struggled in all different marketing mediums, and when they got started with podcasting, it really exploded their business for them. And I'm in a very short period of time. Now, you know, there's not a disclaimer on that for every single person because it's what you put into action and what you do in your business. But I have a client, her name's Stephanie Mann, who actually had her own show before, and she wasn't getting as much traction as she wanted to. She purposed herself, just like what I taught her how to do, into iTunes. She doubled her email opt-in rate. And last November, she only been podcasting for 4 months. She had 16,542 hits to her website in 1 month because of her podcast. So
amazing.
I mean, it's just I know. It's just amazing. And, you know, there's people like Lewis Howes just launched his own podcast just 3 weeks ago. He's had over 20,000 downloads. He had a sponsor approach him to pay him for $5,000. I have clients right now that haven't even started podcasting yet. And because of their niche, they already have people that they're telling them, hey, I'm going to be launching my podcast soon. They have people approaching them to be sponsors on their show already and wanting to give them money. So, I kind of diverted there a little bit.
And just for,
sure.
You know, for folks who are listening, I remember you talking about the fact that, you know, it's not that iTunes is the only platform for this.
Right. So iTunes, this is the reason why I say iTunes so much is because that's the distribution channel you want to be a part of. The podcast, iTunes, all it is, it's just the streaming, it's just the channel. I mean, all it does is stream the audio. But now podcasts, when you launch a podcast, there's plenty of other places people can find you and tune into your show. The reason why you want to be in iTunes is 75% of the podcast downloads and listeners are in iTunes Marketplace. There's over 500 million active credit cards on file in iTunes, and there's over 40 million listeners on a monthly basis. But when you put your show up, that other 25%, there's a lot of other websites where people can find you. Like my show gets found all these crazy places that aren't even related to iTunes that people can find. So that, what's nice about that is since it's media, it's an audio format file, people can find it in other, we call them pod feeders, other places like Stitcher Radio has podcasts, a free podcast app that people can download and listen to. So there's so many ways, no matter what device you're on, you're able to find podcasts and interact with them. So, yes, great question.
It would be really cool. Why don't we take it in a sort of linear fashion to explain to people who may be new to this, you know, what is the notion of podcasting in a you know, kind of lay out the steps in a sequence so they understand when we're talking about iTunes, what step we're talking about in there and so on, you know, from starting from the notion of how do I connect with people using my voice?
Perfect. So let me back up really quick and just briefly explain what a podcast was, because I didn't know what it was. And I think that may help some of the listeners here. And then we'll go into a logical order of what you need to do to actually start and launch a show for success. So literally all a podcast is just an audio or a video subscription, really. It's kind of like getting your favorite magazine sent to your phone daily, but it's in an audio or a video format. So all it allows you to do is it's syndicated. So when someone goes into iTunes and easily searches for a topic, your podcast can pop up. And people click on it, they click one button, they subscribe, and then everybody has iTunes now, so that downloads onto your iTunes platform. So then any phone, any computer that you have it synced up with, you can listen to your podcast. Now, if you don't have iTunes, there's plenty of other applications out there for the Android market. I used Stitcher Radio when I had an Android phone. And that's where you can do the exact same thing. You search, you push one button, and it connects with your phone. So that's how simple it is, so that you can take that audio and listen to it on the go. So
iTunes finally got with the 21st century, and you can download an iTunes app for the Android now.
Oh, yay! Fantastic! That's even better. I haven't been with Android for a while, so that's good to know.
It is good to know. I'm a diehard Android user, so
yes.
I'm really happy that I now have iTunes on my Android.
And it's so easy then. It's funny, I just hooked up my Apple TV finally, and you can listen to podcasts and everything on that, and it's awesome. So you have multiple places where you can connect with this content. I just love it. But,
exactly.
Okay, so let's get into talking about how to craft a show then. Is that the direction you wanted to start going into there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So most people ask me, well, you know, how do I get found? So that's in iTunes because people can easily search for you. That's a question. Great question, but most people, you don't even need to worry about that because people are already looking for you. The minute you launch your show, and all my clients can attest to this, you get downloads around the world within the first week. So people know how to find you. So it's how do you get in front of the people that you want to find you and actually connect with your brand? So the five things that are truly the most crucial to launching a successful show are, first, I'm just going to say them out loud, and then we're going to come back and talk about them. So it's going to be first your category ranking, where you're ranked in the iTunes marketplace, because you want people to easily find you and be able to connect with your show. Second is going to be your album cover artwork. So, and this applies even for people finding you outside of iTunes, because there's a little icon that – is a pixel image that is attached to every show. And that's what how iTunes displays the podcast. It's not a list. They do have a list feature, but predominantly most people, over 90% of them, are searching via the pictures. So that album art is what grabs a listener's attention and is going to bring them in and listen to your show over and over and over again. So you want to make sure you nail that. Third is going to be your title and theme of your show. And this is where literally, this is a high statistic, but I've done so much research in iTunes, it's over 80% of the podcasters do not nail this right. And that's the reason why they're not getting as much success as they deserve for downloads, for email signups, and getting traffic back to their website. And the reason is in today's marketplace, we're busy, right? We've got so much going on with our lives. When we tune into something to give our attention for 10 minutes or an hour, we want to know that it's going to be valuable for us. So what you want to do is you want to craft a theme of your show that people know immediately when they click on your album art what the show is going to be about. And then what you want to do is the title has to capture that as well. And some people like to be cutesy. I'm not about that. I want to get straight to the point and be direct. You can incorporate your personality, but you don't want to be too short with that. And we're going to come back to that in a second. And then you want to make sure that you have a great intro and an outro. We like to call it station identification in the industry for radio, and then also the branding of your show for each episode. And then lastly, it's going to come down to your marketing and your consistency for producing a show. And the reason those are the most important part is because that's what keeps your listeners coming back and knowing that you're there for them on a regular basis. So going back to square one here, for category ranking, it's actually really cool. Now, I usually have an interactive presentation on this, so I'm going to try to explain this as best as I can. But if you were to open up iTunes right now, and in the right-hand corner, there's that little teeny search bar. You can actually type in podcast to get to the podcast directory, or there's a title bar at the top that has podcast listed. So it's so simple in iTunes. You just click on podcast, takes you right into the whole marketplace of iTunes. Now, I didn't realize this, how many categories there were for podcasts. So this is really good to start doing is find your market research of who's actually in iTunes already. So once you're in the iTunes store and you clicked on podcast, then what happens is you'll see a little tab at the top that says audio or video. Now that's where you can explore either audio podcasts or video podcasts. And then on the right-hand side, there's going to be what's called all categories. So you'll see podcasts, and then it'll be all categories, and they'll have some quick links below it. What you want to do is click on the all categories and then down drops all of the categories that you can be in the iTunes marketplace. Now, what I want you to notice, too, is when you scroll down, you'll see business. Let's just click on business here. And if you scroll to the bottom, there's also subcategories that you can be in. So you can get very, very specific with your audience and where to go. So what I always suggest in this first step is to go in there and just take a look. Take a look at who's in the marketplace. You may be really surprised who you find. I mean, if people are listening in and haven't jumped into iTunes yet, just like I hadn't jumped in before I got started, and when I started finding people, I was so amazed. There's Dave Ramsey, Susie Orman, Jillian Michaels, Joel Osteen. Oh, my goodness. I could go on and on and on of top experts that are in the iTunes marketplace. So that's, you know, success leaves clues in that matter. So then you can kind of start to see for your categories. So next what you want to do is you want to focus on your album cover art. So what's really important with this is making sure it really speaks to your audience, because you really do only have about, I'd say, 3 seconds to grab their attention. So here's some quick stats that you need to have to make sure your album art is correct. So it needs to be 1,400 by 1,400 pixels. That's very, very important, because if you don't have that, iTunes can deny your show and you won't get featured in the new and noteworthy or in the what's hot category, which makes it super easy for people to find you because it's right on the front home page of your category in the main iTunes show. Now, also, I always suggest, let's say that you're a lawyer, let's say you're a social media strategist, let's say you're a speaker, a coach. I always say have your picture on your album art, okay? Now, I take it one step further, because if you go in iTunes, there's a lot of people that will just have their picture and that's it. Now, that's great. I want you to show your pretty face, but we need to get more direct for listeners so they know exactly what they're going to tune in for. So you want to include a title of your show. Now, this doesn't have to be your branding of your website. This is one of the biggest questions I always get, that people feel like they have to brand it the same. The podcast marketplace is very fluid. So there, what I mean by that is people come in and listen to your show for different episodes and different reasons. So your branding of your iTunes show can be a little bit different if you're trying to reach a new demographic or if you're trying to broaden your scope for your business, because you can go very broad in iTunes and still have success, which is really exciting. So the reason you want to have your face, you want to have your show title. Now, this can either be your name, you know, like the Chris Gilbertson Show, the Jillian Michaels Show, or if you're focusing on a specific item. One of the examples I always use is Photo Tips is an awesome podcast. It actually was one of the top podcasts last year in the iTunes marketplace, and all it says is photo tips. So if you're that specific on what you're talking about, and your audience will know immediately what they're going to tune into by, you know, just a short statement like that, that's perfect as well. Now, you also might want to include a tagline. And the reason I say this is, for example, Pat Flynn, who has a phenomenal podcast, it's called Passive Income. Now, if someone were just to click on that with passive income, I automatically think real estate. But he focuses on internet marketing. So he focuses on blogging and online business. So he puts that on the cover art so people know what they're tuning in for. Very powerful. So make sure that you include that. And let's see what else. Branding colors, you know, keep it sharp. You want it bright. You want high contrast if possible. So, like Jim Cramer, I always like to use his example. He's got Mad Money. If you guys don't know who he is, he's like the crazy stock guy that has all the
money on his
show. Oh, I know. So his album art is just totally loud. It's yellow, and then it's got Mad Money in red, and then he's got his, you know, picture with his thumbs up, and it just says it with Jim Cramer, and that's it. So, you know, that's a really, really standout, you know, grab your attention, because the iTunes, you know, on the iPads and the phones now, they're all in color, and all of the other phones are too, obviously. So people can really resonate with that. So color, you know, don't be afraid to use that. And then I should suggest also including your website. The reason I do this is because if you're new into online marketing, you know, and you're building your reputation, I like to make it easier for people to find you. You know, the Jim Cramers of the world, you know, the Susie Ormans, everybody already knows who they are. So I suggest including that, but that's a personal preference. Okay, and then lastly, what you want to do is you want to tag your album art for the main keyword that you want to rank on iTunes. So the, one of the really cool things about iTunes versus other strategies is you get like three layers of metadata tagging that enables you to rank so quickly in iTunes for keywords as well as online. So we want to take advantage of every single spot we can do that with, and your album art is very powerful that way.
And Chris,
so that was. Yeah.
When you're talking about categories and talking about keywords, it's helpful to explain to people that they're two different things and both serve you.
Yes. So, yeah, great point. I get going and I get excited. So, categories.
That's great.
Categories, yeah. Categories where people find you in the iTunes marketplace. And people will search for that, too. So, if they're searching for spiritual coach, that, you know, your category of spirituality, that could be where you're going to be found. But then also, if you have a specific keyword that you want to rank for, like NLP coach, that's what you're going to use as your alt tag for your album art. So those keywords that are specific to how you want to be found as well. And what's great, too, is every show you get an index keyword. It's like blog posting, but it's audio or video, and then you also get the benefit of having those keywords show up on your blog as well. So it's very, very layered approach that is very simple, actually, once you understand how to put it together the right way. So it can be very powerful for you.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm getting more excited the more I listen.
Well, I'm not done yet. So I could talk about this all day. I just love it. So, okay, the next step is then going to be your intro and your outro. And I truly believe this is the most, after people have found you, this is the most important part that you want to have in your show. So a lot of times people will get on a mic, they just start talking, and there's no rhyme or reason to it, and there is no structure to the show. And then also, people can't find you. Literally, one of my clients emailed me 2 days ago, and she's like, Chris, you're right. People do not do what you're talking about. And she's like, I was listening to this podcast. I loved it. I cannot find this woman absolutely anywhere. So you're doing a disservice to yourself by not letting people know about who you are as an intro little commercial, just like all the radio stations do, just like that you hear, you know, on TV when they have advertisements. Same thing you want to do for your show, because you, when you start your show, like right now, I have over, I think, 80 or 70, I don't know, it doesn't really matter, about 80 episodes on in my show. And so when people plug in and tune in and find me for the first time, they're not necessarily tuning into the first podcast I ever produced. They may be tuning into the one I just did 2 days ago with an interview. And so that is why you want to have an intro about explaining about what your show is about, just a short 1 to 2 sentences, and then you want to have a call to action. And that action is either to go sign up on your website for free updates in your niche for, you know, free short sale tips or whatever the category may be that, you know, your expertise is in, or a Facebook fan page if you want to get more likes, or if you want to, maybe you're promoting a webinar. You know, whatever it is that you're working on that you want to drive traffic to, what your main goal is for launching a podcast. And then what you want to do is let them know what that episode is going to be about. Very, very important, because even though you're going to put the title and you're going to put the description where people can find that, not everybody reads that. Like me, I go in and I see just what the title of the show is. And that is, that for me determines whether I'm going to listen to that show or not. So you want to make it short, you want to make it engaging, and you want to make it exciting. You know, 5 steps to leave your dream job. You know, things that are going to engage people and want to listen to that show.
So the title for your shows, it's the same arc as creating subject lines in emails or titles or, titles for webinars, is creating that that hook that makes people want to spend the time, whether it's 10 minutes, half an hour, or an hour.
You nailed it, absolutely. So exactly what you're doing right now with your blog posts for the title or for eZine articles or for YouTube videos, same principle. You want to keep it very short, benefit-driven, all about the benefits for the listener. And then the description, you want to give just enough, but you don't want to spell it all out for everybody. So just give them, you know, the highlights of what the episode's going to be about, and then that's what's going to engage them to want to come and listen to your brand, because you want them listening on a consistent basis. So, yes, definitely.
You said something just a moment ago that I want us to pause on for just a minute. Is there a natural length of time that's, quote, best, whether it's a video or an audio podcast, or are we supposed to mix it up, or, you know, and so on? You know, have some that are 10 minutes, some half hour. So you said interview. If you're doing an interview, does that mean it has to be an hour long and so on?
Right. Oh, great question. I get this all the time. So the statistics from research, again, not, you know, from Edison Research, they show that the average listener listens for 18 to 22 minutes. So I say when you're starting out, because you want to pick whether it's going to be you as a solo, you know, podcaster, or if you're going to interview other experts. So if you're going to do, when you get started, I say 10-minute episodes are perfect, because it lets you get consistent with your schedule and figure out, you know, because most people can talk 10 minutes on a subject very easily and not have to plan out too much and make it too complicated of a strategy for yourself. So I like to keep things simple. So I say 10 minutes is perfect. Now, interviews, my interviews go anywhere from 30, but typically go to 45 to 60 minutes. And those are perfectly fine, because people know that it's an interview. And what will happen is the listener will listen, and then they'll come and pick it back up later. And I do this all the time. So another trick, too, if you know, if you're going to be doing interviews, what I have found that gets me quadruple the exposure for that interview, especially when you're interviewing interviewees, I guess to say, is to break it up into chunks for people, because, again, people are busy. You know, they may want to listen to that whole interview, but they may not be able to come back and listen to it. So I've broken it up literally by the questions that I ask. I tend to group those together to make sense in my interviews. So if I'm talking about maybe email marketing, and then I talk about Facebook, if we're, you know, with the expert I'm talking with, then I'll chunk those into small bite-sized interview excerpts for my listeners. So I'll post the whole interview, and then I'll have little excerpts as well. So that's a strategy that I have found that works really well, too, just as a side note there.
That's cool. It's repurposing your content, but as you were saying, in ways that let somebody dive into exactly what it is they'd like to have hear the answer to right now.
Yep, exactly. And I've gotten so many comments back where people just love that, where it's like, I love this person, but I really like how you just gave me what I needed. That's all I wanted to listen to, because I've heard him be interviewed 50 million times. So that, you know, because people, they get their followers that they want to follow with. So it really does lend itself well for you. And then also you get optimized in iTunes for all of those shows. So if other people have interviewed that person a lot, you're going to show up on the front way more than everybody else. So you're going to likely get more of the downloads, because people are going to want to tune into your show because you're front and center with that interview.
Say that again. Say what you were just trying to share right there about what makes you show up on the front of iTunes more.
Yeah, so I'm all about strategy. So when I do something, I want it to work really, really well. So the reason why I broke my interviews up into short segments is, let's say that you interviewed Darren Hardy, the publisher of Success Magazine. So a lot of people have interviewed him. So when you go in iTunes and people search for a name and that person pops up and there's a lot of people that have interviewed them, or out on the interwebs as well, when you have one interview that's broken up into, say, 5-bit-size segments that people can consume very quickly, more people download those. So what happens is you're going to get higher rankings on Google. You're going to show up in iTunes more. You're going to have more podcast album art images show up for that interview. So let's say there's 30 people that have interviewed this one person and you've had the most downloads. You're going to take up the whole front space when people put that keyword in, and your podcast episodes are going to show up over everybody else's. So it enables you to dominate iTunes and really rank for those keywords, which is really cool.
It's so critical. Gina, you know, this goes right back into the strategies that you work with everyone in Directions University, and about this notion of, it's not about being number one, it's how do you dominate with your presence. And
And
here we go in iTunes, how to strategically dominate with your presence by marrying it with multiple ties to those high-value personalities or keywords and so on.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Whether we're talking about iTunes, whether we're talking about search engines, doesn't really matter. If you get one single number one ranking in either one, you're going to get traffic from it because you're in the number one listing. But that traffic isn't likely to convert. If instead on the front page you're showing up 4, 5, 6 times out of 10 entries, it subconsciously changes everything for the person who's clicking through to your website. You are now instantly, in their eyes, the biggest experts in the eyes of iTunes, Google, whatever they happen to be finding you on. And that totally changes the conversions in a very positive, very huge way.
Oh, I love that. And you just nailed that with the psychology. I love how you teach that, because that's so true. Because when we click on Google and we see, you know, 6 out of the 10 websites or one person, you automatically just, oh, they're the expert. Okay, let's go see what they've got.
And you don't
that.
Even bother searching any further because of it.
Exactly. It's just programmed, yeah. So very, very cool. I love that.
And the same would happen on iTunes. It's the subconscious stuff that makes people buy.
Exactly.
Amazing. The psychology of relationship marketing.
Really is.
Really, yeah. I mean, it really is when you get down to it and you break it down to a science and just show this is, you know. And what I like about it, though, is it makes it simple for anybody to be able to use these strategies and to get success. Where they don't have to overthink everything. You know, we figure out what works, what to do, and just to implement it and to take action. Because taking action is 90% of the battle there, you know, just to be able to achieve what you want. So outstanding. So back to the intro and the fourth point about the intro and the outro. The only other thing I want to say about that is during the body of your content. So I teach people there's 5 parts to the show. You want to have a really cool jingle introduction with either a voiceover, male or female, or your own voice. Go into your intro, call to action, description of the show, and then the body of your show is important too. So make sure that, you know, your content is concise. It's not going all over the place. A lot of people I listen to are just all over the place with what they're talking about and trying to teach people, or the subject matter is all over the place. And so it's hard to kind of follow them and understand. And people tune off of that because there's so many other people that they can find that are going to be to the point. So the reason, my reason for saying that is one subject matter for one podcast. Keep it simple. So just like that blog post, when you say five tips to finding your dream job, you're not going to start talking about, you know, a recipe you made last night. You know, you're going to stick to the topic, you're going to keep it simple, and you're going to share the steps. So make sure that that's really important for success as well. And then always end cap your show with your outro, which is just a mini version of your introduction, and then also directing traffic back to where you would want your audience to go, whether it's to sign up or on your email list or wherever it is. Because people, it's proven that even though people may love what you're doing and love your show, if you do not tell them where to go, they don't do it. So don't feel like it's salesy or anything like that. The podcast listener is really, they're open to wanting to know what you're about. Another statistic I like to share is that 80% of podcast listeners prefer to buy products or services they heard about on a podcast from either the person, advertisers, or sponsors. So your demographic, because podcast listeners are volunteering to listen to you. It's not like they're watching TV and all of a sudden your show pops up and it's a commercial that they have no interest in. They're tuning into you because they volunteer to listen to you to begin with. There's no opt-in. They don't have to put their name or email. So it's completely voluntary. So when you talk about things on your show, they're already interested in it because they already like you. And so you attract who you are, and therefore they're interested in what you like anyway. So it's a very win-win-win situation there for you. So don't be afraid to tell people where to go.
I love it. And this is really important, Chris, because, you know, so many of us who are spending time designing our websites or our messages through blog posts or other avenues are trying to figure out, first, how to get people to opt in and become members of our list so that we can communicate with them in the future. And so that's one whole psychology of engagement and so on. And this other one, this is people who know that they're much more independent from you, and yet they're even more devoted to you.
Oh, absolutely. Here's a great example. So my show, when you start podcasting and actually getting into iTunes, you are going to have people that are going to pop up all over the world that are going to say, you know, I feel like I'm best friends with you. I mean, that's what happens. It's so, I don't know how to explain it better than that friend factor and that magic principle, but when people listen to you, I mean, our earbuds are like really close to our brain. Something happens there. But people, they really get to connect with you and know who you are. And the other thing, here's an example. Ralph Quintero, he actually has a podcast called The Great Business Project, and that's his website too. Go check it out. It's awesome. But he found me because of my podcast. And so he had been listening quietly in the background because you don't really know who's listening for sure. You know what city and state they're listening to and what episodes they're tuning into, so you can really know what to talk about on your show, but you don't know, like, their names. So he emailed me via LinkedIn, and he was like, Chris, I love your show. I listen to it at the gym in the morning when I'm running. And, you know, he was just awesome. So we connected. Now, here's Ralph. He sold his first company for $35 million and is listening to my podcast. He reached out to me, wanted to get to know me. He's now become a good friend. He's a business advisor for me in my business, and he's just phenomenal. So I interviewed him on my show, and we had a blast. And so that connection, the power of connections in this medium, I mean, I had a person when I first launched my show, because I was talking about the power of podcasting, an executive director from Project Management Institute reached out to me. So you never know who's going to be listening. And that's not even my demographic. That's why I would say that, because it's completely different than who I usually work with. So it's really exciting of the quality of people. You know, like I said, Edison Research documented them as affluent, highly desirable, hard-to-reach advertising targets. So they're very interested in finding the right people. And when you do your show right and you do it well, you'll get the same results and people wanting to connect with you as well, which is really fun.
I love it. And, you know, before we end the show today, we are going to talk about how people can learn how to do it right. So I just want to let everybody who's listening know we are coming back to that. But I want to hear about part five.
Oh, absolutely. This is my favorite part. And the part five is the marketing and the consistency in your show. So the reason I like this strategy and why I just fell in love with iTunes is because it is a large distribution channel. And I say it over and over again, But see, I like to partner with, you know, situations where there's already people that are have a habit in place. And so iTunes, people are already accustomed to searching in iTunes, buying in iTunes, listening. You know, iTunes is the audio world. So what's great about that is your demographic is already there and it's untapped. So what happens with the consistency in your show, literally by putting a show up and just producing it consistently, you can have success. Some of my students haven't even done the marketing techniques that I've taught them, and they still are having success because of how many people are searching in iTunes. So just getting in there and producing a consistent show is number one. And you want to do what I've found is the best days to produce your shows are going to be on Fridays because the heavy downloads that happen on the weekends. So you can post your show on Friday. You're going to get downloads on Friday for sure. Anytime you post a new episode, you will get immediate downloads. However, you may see a huge spike on Saturday and Sunday. So that's when people are taking their content with them and being able to, you know, listen to it on the go or whatever the case may be that they're using it for. Now, also, I found that book reviews. So let's say, you know, you're well into your show and you're not sure what to talk about this week on your show. Book reviews or product reviews are always hot topics. So I always like to pick what the buzzword is. Like Amazon publishing was one of the biggest topics this year and will be going forward as well. And so I did an interview with a gentleman and did a book review on some products, and I've had affiliate sales from that podcast over and over and over again from just one interview. And the best days to produce those are Tuesday through Thursday. Those shows really are powerful during the week. For some reason, that's when people are downloading. So, you know, if you want to just talk about a book or a product, anything like that. So really, you know, the main thing I want to touch on here is the consistency. Set yourself up for success. You know, Wealth only does a show twice a month. So if that's all you have time for and can produce it out there, you can still get thousands of downloads. I have friends over in the UK that do one show a week, and they do 10 minutes. That's all they do. And they get over 8,000 downloads on a monthly basis and consistent traffic to their website. So that's the power of being partnered in iTunes. And then there's a lot of other ways that you can go promote your show, which I always suggest, through Facebook, through LinkedIn, through Twitter, just posting a short code and putting the title of your show and, boom, popping that out on all the networks for people to connect with you and be able to find you. So I always suggest using your blog post and then having the audio on your website, which I teach people how to do, and then also have a link to iTunes because some people want to listen right there on your website and some people want to subscribe in iTunes and get the show showing up all the time on the player of their choice.
I love it.
Those are just a few tidbits for you.
Yeah. I love it. And, you know, I can see in the chat box that there are people who are posing all kinds of questions. So what I would like to do is take a couple of minutes. I know I've got another couple of questions, Gina may as well, but before we dive into those, I want to let people know that in the show notes to this show, you are going to find links to how you can learn directly from Chris. And for those of you who are listening and not looking at the website, if you go to bbdnow.com/podcasting, podcasting, I-N-G, bbdnow.com/podcasting, it will take you to the link for how you can learn from Chris and learn from her right now. So, boy, I'm so excited. I'm looking at the clock. It's like, wait, I have more questions, and I suspect Gina has a couple as well. So, Gina, let me turn it over to you before I keep.
No, I'm going to let you keep going with your questions, and I will jump in if I need to. Go ahead.
I know I got caught once before on one of the shows where I was still talking as we tuned out and floated off into internet land. So I'm trying to stay conscious of the clock. At the beginning of the show, Chris, we were talking about this notion of for some people it's video, for some people it's audio. And how is that playing out nowadays with podcasting?
Yeah, great question. And just real quickly, because I know we're wrapping up here soon, audio or video, go with the medium that you are going to do consistently. So some people, I always suggest audio because it's the easiest, it's the fastest to produce. You don't have to get makeup on. You don't have to get all pretty. You don't have to, like, edit a ton. So I suggest audio. If you're a person, though, that your business is based on your videos, like they need to see what you're doing, then I would suggest videos, too. Separate channels, though. An audio channel and a video channel is very important because it doesn't confuse the listener because I'm an audio listener. So I like to choose audio format, and then I'll come back to video if it's something that I really want to see. So I just say audio because it's the quickest to get you up and running and staying consistent with.
Is there a value, if there are some folks who are very video-oriented, is there a value to them creating their video and then stripping out the audio and making that be a second podcast and having...
Yes, absolutely. I always suggest that if you already have... I have a woman that I'm working with now that had 80 shows already in video format, and she wants it in iTunes, and she wants it the audio. So you just take the video, turn it into MP3 file, and then that's what you would use for your audio show in iTunes, because then you're going to reach the listeners that are like me that want to just listen, but then you also have your YouTube channel, and you can set up a second show that's just for video as well to reach the other visual learners. So yes, absolutely, there's massive power. Anybody that has content already, you really should be repurposing in iTunes because of the demographic you'll reach and how easy it is for people to connect with you. It's a faster format than YouTube because it actually allows it to download consistently on their phone. So they can just have to
That's
go
a really great point. You know, we have some people who I know are still trying to figure out how to niche themselves, and I really appreciate what you're saying about go explore and take a look at the categories. When you're doing podcasting, do you have to make a decision about a single category that you're going to put yourself under?
Well, the categories are pretty big and broad in iTunes. So, like, for business, there's 5 subcategories. So you can just start in business, but you can always change your show. I mean, this is why there is a method to podcasting that will be successful. However, getting started is the most important part. So don't overanalyze it because, like Dave Ramsey, he's changed his show 3 times. It is totally okay to change it up as you go, and I show you how to do that where it's not going to lose listeners or subscribers or anything like that. There is a right way to do that. But so if you're not quite sure right now, I mean, a byproduct of a lot of my clients have told me they've gotten really clear and focused now in their business and what they want to do. And I'm starting a new show this year. So, I mean, because I've gotten even more specific on what I want to do. So just getting started is the most important part. And then you can tweak it and fine-tune it and get it, you know, closed in more as you grow. So I don't want people to hold that back because I know that was a big problem for me, too. I waited way too long to get started when I should have just gotten started.
People think, well, but I have 3 different audiences I'm trying to reach right now. Does that mean I do 3 different shows?
No. My show, like, okay, for example, the great question, though, because I was the same way. So my show is Secrets of the Extraordinarily Successful. It's listened to in 93 countries, gets thousands of downloads on a monthly basis. I am in 9 niches. 9 niches. I talk about real estate. I talk about health and fitness. I talk about internet marketing. I talk about subconscious mind. I am in all over the place. But I brought the theme together about the underlying principles of success to help you grow your business and your lifestyle. So when people tune in, they may not be interested in health, but they'll come back and listen to the real estate later. So it just depends on what they're interested in. So if you have different demographics of people, that's okay. That's why the theme, that step 2, is so important. So anybody can tune in from your different demographics, whether it's male, female, or, you know, whomever it is that you want to reach. So absolutely, you can do that successfully with just one show.
Cool. And for those of us, because I've had many stages in my career where I was too broad and too deep and too general, I think the gift, I'm going to be in your program because I want to learn and I want to leverage your learning and your knowledge and your wisdom for how to shape my message for podcasting. So I'm really excited, and I hope other people who are listening to this say, you know what, I could spend weeks and months trying to figure this all out myself rather than just carving out the time and working with Chris and getting it done. So I'm very excited about this.
Well, I am so excited to connect with you, too. We are going to have an absolute blast. And, you know, I appreciate you saying that because I literally bang my head against the wall because it's hard to find the information in this niche. There's not a lot of people that are able to teach it the right way, and a lot of courses out there are really expensive. And so I spent I've literally spent probably over 80 hours figuring out what works, what doesn't. You know, when I get into something, I am like a scientist. I'm a detective. I like to figure it all out and then put it back together where it's, okay, step 1, step 2, step 3, keep it simple, and let's have some success and have, more importantly, have fun with it.
Going to be such a great fit for the show.
Well, thanks, but it's funny because my clients will be like, Chris,
Yeah, like, I was thinking about Gina like, and myself, and okay, we're systematizers, you know. We dive deep and say, okay, how do we transmit this to the next person so they don't have to go through the same journey we did in order to get practical and get it done.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm all about that. I truly believe in that because I always have coaches in everything I do in business. So it makes it you just get to success faster and you get to have more fun with it. So absolutely.
Yeah. So in case anybody was tuning in late, I just want to let them know if you're listening that if you go to bbdnow.com/podcasting, you'll find out all the information for how you can work with Chris. And let's see what other dangling questions there might be for folks who are listening right now. Gina, what do you have?
Well, this has been really awesome. I know from what Chris has been talking about, I've seen it in some of my own students. I used to have a student a couple of years ago that used iTunes very much by accident. He was just playing around. He happened to be in the running niche and really didn't even have a website at the time. He was just literally messing around on iTunes. And after about a month, he came to me and he says, is it normal to have 10,000 downloads of the two audios I put up this month on iTunes? And I'm like, are you serious? How about you get a website? Well, he put up a website, and the next month he comes back and he says, well, I did one a week like you told me to. Is it normal to have 30,000 downloads? And within 90 days, he was routinely getting over 200,000 downloads a month. And it makes much sense to me when I saw it. If you think about people who are runners, he was teaching them how to do a better job at running, and they usually bring their iPod with them and listen to stuff on their iPod when they're running, right? Well, it made so much sense. He wants them to run 30 minutes a day, and he's putting out a 30-minute episode once a week. Guess what they're doing?
Exactly. It's brilliant. I mean, Gina, that's an awesome story, and I wonder if you might know who that person is, because if you're in fitness, that fitness, wealth creation, or anything with, you know, finances or helping people make money or save their money or keep it, and then relationships is the best place to be in iTunes. And that covers a lot of things. But for fitness, oh, my goodness, absolutely. Having people connect with you and on the go, you become their personal trainer. You're the coach there for them all the time. So that's why that's powerful. Yeah, very, very, very awesome.
And for him, getting him to put an outro with a link to an opt-in page was, like, worse than pulling teeth for me. He couldn't figure out what to give them when they opted in, so he just didn't do it. And all I could see was dollar signs flying out the window every single month for this poor guy.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you said that, because I go into that in the program of what to have direct people back to for your opt-in or what to have, because it's so powerful. A lot of people are able to figure out what their first product offering is after they work with me, because they're actually able to get really focused on what they're putting their show together, which just by a byproduct, they're like, oh, I should really be doing this. So it's really fun. But, yes, you want to have that opt-in there, because once they've already hooked and they're listening to you, they want to know more about you. You'll get the email opt-in, and then that starts your funnel. So your email list is the most valuable asset you can have as an online internet marketer or business owner. So very, you know, you want to pride on that and make sure that you give them something that'll be benefit for them. And then absolutely. So that's very, very important.
And if it's not ready, do it anyway. They'll be ready soon enough.
Yeah, it's perfect mediocrity. Or how does that saying go? Harv Eker always says this. He says, sloppy success will be perfect mediocrity any day. And I love it, because that's how success happens. You're never going to be perfect to start. You start, every master was once a disaster. So just get going, and then you can find it, you know, refine it as you go. And people will
say, my favorite quote is, winners take imperfect action while losers are still perfecting the plan. Really true.
I love it. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for all that you've shared today, Chris. This has been a great show, and I am certainly going to be talking about it with all of my students for the next week to get them to come back and listen too.
Well, excellent. Well, I truly appreciate you guys having me on here. This is an absolute blast. I look forward to connecting with you guys more in the future, and Linda getting you guys in the iTunes marketplace.
Woohoo! We're all just downloading
so
each other's
much.
Podcasts. Yay.
There you go. And Linda and I will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern here on Blog Talk Radio for another episode of Breakthrough Directions. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Thanks so much again for being here.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion-powered results.